everyone. You're watching Otaku Movie Anatomy. We're hopping into cars and starting a fighting fantasy boy band with Brotherhood Final Fantasy 15. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk. We talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Otaku Movie Anatomy.
Shit, that is epic.
It's so
Wait,
so
was
epic.
This music in the anime?
It's from the OST.
Oh.
This is not from the anime, but the anime music is pretty
intense. All right, guys. Thanks for watching Otaku Movie Anatomy, and we are back from Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Be sure to subscribe, rate, and comment on iTunes, and hit that thumbs up on YouTube, and follow us on Twitter at The Popcorn Talk. And I am your host, Yume. You can find me everywhere online at Yume Ninja. And we are...
Oh, shit. I'm another person who is here today. I'm... Michelle, I'm Chibi Buddy, forgot my name again. You can find me everywhere on the internet. Oh shit, rave time.
Shit.
I am Chubby Bunny, and today we are joined by special guesto, Alquin Gersh is how you say his
Alquin
name.
Gersh.
Yep, if you do not have a strange
Sephiroth
accent.
In the flesh.
Alquin Gershusan.
Yep.
All right, let's get started. This short series.
Wait, hold on. Why is Alquin here? Let's talk about this for a second. We just brought some bro on.
Yeah, we just brought
some random guy.
Some random guy ship on our show.
So Alquin is very well versed in the world of Final Fantasy.
We brought Lord Sephiroth himself, who gets you.
To talk to you guys.
I've dedicated my life
about
to it.
The epitome of a Final Fantasy boy band game show.
Show that is also a game is what we're trying to get out here.
It's a prequel.
The anime?
Yeah.
It is.
Yes.
The prequel
to
the game. So,
technically...
They're like back...
Technically, it happens...
They put out the demo. It was also the same thing. The episode Dusuke.
Oh,
you see that? There was a demo for it. It's the
same thing. I thought the game's actually starting with, like, it'll start with the fall of the thing, and then they're on the road. So it's kind of in between the opening.
Yeah, it's kind of in between.
I think you're right.
All right.
Anyways. So, Brotherhood, Final Fantasy 15, as it is called, is a short-form animated series that is on Crunchyroll streaming right now up to episode 3.
And the official Final Fantasy 15 Brotherhood channel they made for it, which is great, by the way. The comments are amazing on YouTube.
Yes.
We'll go over that later.
The plot. I ripped this directly from the Square Enix site. En route to wed his fiancée, Lunafreya Nox Fleurette, on a road trip with his best friends, Prince Noctis is advised by news reports that his homeland has been invaded and taken over under the false pretense of peace treaty. And he...
Literally first world problems.
Yeah,
is what
and that his loved one and his father has... Wow, this is terrible, Kate. I just read what Square Enix wrote. And that he, his loved one, and his father has been slain at the hands of the enemy. But the princess is not slain. That doesn't make any sense.
The grammar is completely incorrect.
I'm gonna be a grammar Nazi about this.
Jesus, they just tell us that Kyrie just is dead?
Yeah, this
that
is from
the
Square.
That's from the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
Because he's Sean Bean.
Sean Bean. So, to gather the strength needed to uncover the truth and reclaim his homeland, Noctis and his loyal companions must overcome a series of challenges in a spectacular open world that is filled with larger-than-life creatures, amazing wonders, diverse cultures, and treacherous foes.
And two women.
Yes, and two
probably
chicks.
No, there's a third one. So there's the princess Chicky. They're gonna go find
Lunafreya.
There's Cid, and then also Ding Dong's
sister.
Yeah, Cid
is a girl this time. In a sort of risque outfit.
Oh, there's Cid and
Gladios. Cindy. Gladios's sister.
And then they also have the hot goth chick from the anime. Remember the chick with the black outfit? And we were like, ooh, I like
her. We're like, ooh.
In the anime?
I hope she's in the game.
In Prompto's episode where the dog comes back and then she goes outside and there's a chick wearing all black that follows her.
Oh, yeah, that's
right. And I was like, what's her name? I like her.
Yeah.
Because
I saw there's a girl, I thought that was Iris, actually. I thought it was Iris just turned evil or something when she grew up, but there's a different person. It's two darker girls, one's evil, one's...
Four women.
So, yay. Good job, Squeenix.
Yeah, so we'll go straight into characters and character design. So... These guys.
I'm noticing something in common with the design of these characters. Yeah. They share some characteristics.
Probably they share at least a barber.
Yes, they share a stylist.
Yeah.
So
they all look like hosts.
They do.
Host clothes. They all look like hosts.
They look like they were all designed in like 2005. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're of an era.
You know, and this will probably come up more when we talk about the Prompto episode, yeah. but I feel like, you know, Tetsuya Nomura himself looks like one of those characters he's designed now at this point.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know?
He's just kind of crafted himself. Oh,
yeah, he's got the you know, the accessories and the, like, the suits. And he has hair is like that. His hair looks like it's cloud-esque yes. or...
So,
some people like that style.
Main character, yes. Prince Noctis Lucius Calum.
But they call him Nocto.
Nocto.
I wonder how we get into English.
He is edgelord extraordinaire.
Explain what an edgelord is for our uneducated viewers.
Yes, explain to us, Alkin, what an edgelord is.
Alkin, tell me.
I don't know what the exact Urban Dictionary definition of it
Look it up.
But, I mean, it's like one of those guys have, like, a replica katana and, like, a fedora and a trench coat. And this is very prescriptive kind of identity of, like, once I get these accessories, I'm going to be a badass. You know, like, they just think that once you get the gear... You know, that you then all you somehow transformed into this
become
kind of like
this most amazing badass.
Yeah.
Yeah. They like
dressing in a
they
way.
They like Shadow the Hedgehog and
what?
like they have to like the things that are most like evil or anti-establishment.
Like Dante from Devil May Cry is another like total edgelord character.
Edgelord. Okay.
Yeah.
So who are you calling Edgelord over here?
Noctis. Prince Noctis.
The main dude.
And Noctis. He is also Mega Emo-kun, and his character design is basically Sasuke 2.0.
And it has been noticed not just by us and people who like
the
animes,
entire
but
fandom.
The entire internet has been like, why is Sasuke in Final Fantasy?
Yes.
Oh.
Well,
yeah, we have a comparison photo.
Yeah.
The hair is so similar.
It is so exact.
They add one pointy bang. I'm going to call it one bang. To make it look like Sasuke. Yes.
People pay good money to get their hair to look like that.
It's that gray hair too. I mean, like
yeah. You know, his hair was lighter before in the first when they're first developing the game. They darkened it a certain amount
to make him look more like Sasuke.
Well, my theory is the time when they were first making this game and designing the characters was like Final Fantasy Versus 13, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that was a long time ago.
That was at Sasuke's peak popularity.
Oh my god, you're right.
Shippuden Sasuke's.
Yep. All anime makers look like that because they wanted them. They all edgelords all had to look like
that.
Sasuke.
Was that season? That was the edgelord look for that season.
Sasuke is one of these edgelords. So moving on, there's a Gladiolus. How do you say his last name?
Is it Italian or is it?
I think they're trying to make him sound kind of fancy in European.
Is it Amicitia?
Amicitia, maybe.
I haven't heard the katakana version.
Amicitia. Yeah.
But these are the most pretentious names. He's the eldest son of a noble family. He helps train, aka kick Nox's ass.
Yeah, he's the third episode.
And he is the older brother of Iris.
Yes.
Then there is Ignis Scientia.
Like science with a cha at the end.
Who wears the glasses?
He's a McGunnikin.
He's the McGunnikin.
He's a McGunnikin. McGunnikin
means glasses for the uninformed.
And also, because he's the McGunnikin, he is the smart one that is a tactician.
Mm-hmm. And he's always
like. We haven't seen his background episode.
Yeah,
yet.
I think
it's probably the next one.
This is the next one, yeah.
Yeah, there's six episodes total, and they're only up to three. I had to really like.
We're gonna talk about 1 to 3. We won't fake spoil the rest of them. We don't know what
to do. Spoil it. And then there's, lastly, there's Prompto Argentum.
Prompto is the besto. I love him.
He was pretty annoying when, like, the first episode came out. I found him really annoying.
Yes.
And then his episode, I was like, wow. So he is
because you thought he was like a Shota, like, art attack.
Yeah,
like,
me too.
Sort of happy,
but his backstory
boy,
was great.
Right?
Yeah,
his backstory was great.
He's a childhood friend of Noctis who is cheerful, loves cuddly animals, and used to be chubby.
That's a very important character arc.
Super
he goes
important for his, for his
episode 3.
We should talk about that. You liked that a lot, right? You liked
what, him being chubby?
No, his journey.
His journey.
He had a good arc. Shouldn't we go in order or not?
Yes, let's go in order.
Let's go in order because it goes from kind of weird to good.
Problematic.
Yeah.
So the first episode is basically them driving around their car, which kind of looks like them driving through like Utah.
Yeah, everything looks like. Well, I heard that they sent the team several times to go out to Arizona, a lot of Route 66 stuff to see Americana.
It definitely looks like Americana Route 66.
Yeah, that was by design. They talked about this a lot in their Final Fantasy 15 Uncovered event they held in Los Angeles in. How long ago was that? Like 3-4 months ago?
Yeah, it was earlier this year.
God, that was so fun. I went. Anyway, so the first episode is really like. These are all the sad things that are happening, and look how emo Noct can be, and, like, it's very, it's a little off-putting. Like, I saw the first episode, and I was like,
They're a lot more, like, tropes.
They're setting up stuff.
Yeah, they set it up. They're driving, they stop at a diner, and this, at this point, is where they learn that Noctis's father has been killed and his fiance
has been... Does he hear that he's been... I think they think his father's been captured. I don't think he's been killed yet.
Yeah, because it's on the news.
They know that Niflheim is invading. They have that on the news.
Because that's in a different movie called Kingsglaive. We'll talk about it later.
Yes.
But, and they're in the diner, and
they're in the diner.
What is that, like a spaceship? It's like
though they see the news, and then they don't finish their burgers, and then they go on a trip, and then suddenly the big ship comes with all the metal Nazis.
Oh, they're basically metal Nazis.
They're metal Nazis.
They're robots who wear like trench coats and that have like a kind of a 50s robot
like a
face.
Yeah, it's very Metropolis looking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like them though. And then they showed up though. I was like, are these guys robots? They're totally robots. That way you can kick their ass with impunity.
Yeah.
And there's no blood or no gore or anything, but you can do fancy combat moves to them.
Yeah,
guilt free.
Two of the other things they hit on in that episode are at the beginning. There's a reveal of Noctis as a child laying next to a bleeding woman who is probably his mother, who has been killed by a 7-armed or 8-armed spider lady kind of thing.
That's a Merilith, I think. But I think in the games, those are Lamia. Is what that thing is called.
Alcuin knows what the names of the thing is.
Yes.
So that's good.
Yep.
And then she comes back. At the end of this episode, she's on that ship with the metal Nazis, which we're going to call them now, because we know what they're really called.
Yeah. And they, like, cut away from that.
And then
they don't know what's going on.
Away from that, and then they go, oh, shit, episode 2 better be way more lay-hearted than this. Let's not address this anymore.
It doesn't make any sense.
I think the first episode, and then this
they're
is not based on...
They'll probably go back and wrap it up at the end.
I feel like they have to.
Because
there's 6 episodes.
Yeah.
There's a lot of time left, but... I feel like there was a really long break between episode 1 and 2. It was like 3 months. Like, a lot of time passed. People were like, where the hell is episode 2? They kind of thought it was going to be like every month. And then 2 and 3 came out like one after the other. Because I think they just fixed all those problems about it. The biggest problem everyone's having with Noctis is that he seems like, oh, we can see what he looks like and how he's being like, oh, I'm so cool. Like, nobody likes a character like that.
He was basically Sasuke.
Yeah, he was completely unlikable. Everybody was very one-dimensional. And then now they have episodes 2 and 3 started showing. So 2 is Prompto's episode and 3 is Gladius's episode.
Yeah, they show him kind of like, in Prompto's episode, kind of like becoming friends with him, and then in Gladio's episode, like being kind of like a humble prince.
Yeah, so they show like a lot of different aspects to his character, and even in the YouTube comment section, you can tell people are like, oh, I really like him now. And if YouTube comments say something good about something, you know what's working.
It's working.
Yeah.
So it was really. So first episode was like, okay, fine. And the fighting was cool looking. But it's still animated, so it doesn't look as cool as the CG is going to look at all.
Yeah, it's not. I feel like
when the animation was really good quality.
Yeah, and the animation was good, but like I feel like the fighting in the animation, like in the anime, you could tell that they were trying to translate it from the game.
Yeah,
but it doesn't look like it would look in the game. I feel like the game is going to be spectacular. The animation in the anime, I was like, see, just randomly popping up like weapons, and it didn't make very much sense. Like, if you don't play Final Fantasy, it wouldn't make any sense.
Right.
Yeah, that's supposed to be his big ability, which I think is inherited from.
Yeah, they show his father using
World Bloodline or whatever, and it's the usual kind of like Gilgamesh in Fate, Stay Night Unlimited Blade Works, where he's kind of like just calling
a bunch of weapons.
So, and when he attacks, he manifests like a different weapon all the
time.
And that's probably a mechanic in the game you do too, where you're like, oh, I want to use this sort of attack against this guy, so here's a halberd or whatever. Or a battle axe.
I always thought it was help. Is it called a halberd? Man,
I
do not
think so.
I do not know how to say words that are spelled in English.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Halberd.
I always thought it was like a halbread, but I guess flip the letters. A halberd. Like that.
It's a stick with a loaf of bread
on the end. Very effective.
When you
want to
feed your enemy at a distance.
So episode 1, blurk. Episode 2.
Episode 2.
Talk about Prompto's episode.
Yeah. Prompto's episode.
Get to Prompto.
Let's get to it.
So they just kind of start off with Prompto. He's like this chubby kid with a digital camera from like the early 2000s. And he's just...
when you first see him in the episode though, he's not. He looks like a sort of young, fashionable guy.
And then they skip to his childhood and he's this little chubby kid with like a little camera and he's going through it and it's just... pictures of kitties and
dogs,
puppies. It's so cute.
And
but
of course,
he's by himself.
His parents are gone because of anime. Right?
Oh, and the setting. So
one... he's fast food at home alone every night.
Yeah, this is quite a divergence from everything else we've seen so far in not only the episode 1, but also in the rest of all the filming of the game I've seen, the actual gameplay. It's modern day, like right now Japan, is what it looks like. It's him going to a grade school that looks exactly like a modern grade school with like desks and chairs and a teacher and...
no visible, like,
Stuff. Everything looks at date right now, and which I guess hopefully 10 years from now looks like Final Fantasy. Woo!
I know,
we'll
have like
world.
Flying Lincoln Town cars
and metal Nazis
and art deco mechs.
But what was it? Oh, so then he doesn't have any friends.
Yeah,
But then
he finds a dog that's injured, heals him, the dog goes back to its owner.
Which happens to be the princess.
Lunafreya.
Helping animals is visual shorthand for you are protagonist.
Yeah. You are a good person.
Yeah, you are going to be a badass one day.
And then when you intellectually understand it, it still works. Yeah. I liked him more. When I showed him doing animal stuff, I'm like, I like this guy.
Yeah. Then you see this little puppy with, like, he's, like, got a little injury and he's, like, limping along. And he goes, oh, you're injured. He puts, like, a little handkerchief on him. So he takes him home and bathes him. And I was like, oh my God.
And he keeps him in his house and goes to school, but then, runs back to his house after school. He's really, like, really worried about the dog, and it's really goddamn heartwarming. Yeah.
It's cute.
So Lunafreya finds, of course, the handkerchief wrapped around the dog's leg has Prompto's name on it. So, like, her maid in waiting or whatever finds where he lives and sends him a letter that says, like, hey, I'm Lunafreya, and I sent this dog to go visit Prince Noctis, and I'm glad you're his friend.
It's one of two dogs. It's a light and dark dog.
Yeah. Which I hope comes back. They come back.
Please, I think that's totally going to be important.
Please be in the game.
Yes, please be dire wolves in the game.
Well, I think it also has to do with, like, they were supposed to be married at some point, right? Noct and Lunafreya.
They were
So
his name is Night, and she's Moon. So I think there's a sort of...
Oh, shit!
Noctis and Luna.
I just got that.
There have also been rumors that this is completely unsubstantiated, but people think that the main bad guy at the end is going to... She might be the last boss. Like, maybe the story is about, you know, like, how they could have been, you know... married or whatever, but like just...
I hate when it boils down to a yucky love story if someone's angry about it. But
I think it's supposed to be some sort of weird tragic sort of thing.
Oh, people are gonna die for sure.
People are gonna be so mad. Like, remember Final Fantasy X? People were so mad.
So mad.
Yeah. Just like, oh, Tidus is a dream. And then you're just like, what?
If you play both versions of Final Fantasy X-2 with the new game plus...
Ugh, who played that even? Just him.
Then Tidus is real, okay?
Final Fantasy X-2.
I didn't. Well, actually, you two probably like Final Fantasy X more than I do.
I like the designs, but I couldn't get through it.
I quit when I found out Tidus was a dream. Someone told me, and I was like, I'm done. I just stopped playing.
It's actually Tidus.
Tidus.
Of an age, guys.
Which I discovered many years after I had been excited about the game. I thought it was pretty
funny. Back when I could read, like, katakana real well and real quickly, I realized it was Tidus real quick, because I used to call him Tidus, too.
Tidus makes sense, but...
I think there's a long history of Final Fantasy names being... completely misspoken by everybody, like 50-50. It's like, is it Cecil or Cecil? Cecil or Cecil? Which one is it,
Aerith or Aerith?
Yeah, no one knows.
Yeah.
No one knows. Okay,
to this day.
But back to the episode 2. So anyway, Prompto gets this letter from Lunafreya, and it's like, she assumes he's Noctis' friend, and he's like, oh, okay, she's counting on me to be his friend, or like, for some reason. It makes no sense.
It made no sense. He's like, I got this letter from the princess, and she wants me to become Noctis' friend.
But
and
it was sweet.
I was like, how did you get that from this letter that just thanked you for saving the dog?
But it does keep the plot going, and he decides that he bumps into him, and he kind of calls him, Noctis helps him up, and he's kind of like, you're kind of heavy. And he really takes it to heart, and then the story from here
kind of... He doesn't mean it, I don't think Noctis means it in a malicious way or whatever.
But then it turns into, like, an eating disorder problem. Just kidding. decides to be fit. He decides, I need to be fit in order to be, able to be his friend.
Which doesn't make any sense.
Which is what I kind of had a problem with, is the idea of, like, you are not worthy.
Until you are physically fit looking.
I think if you look
at
it...
he even avoids talking to him, and it gets all kind of stalkery distant with him.
But if you look at the people around him, like, in the beginning when Prompto was, like, chubby, like, the kids bump into him, and he just kind of, like, they say sorry, and he just kind of ignores them. Like, he acts like he's not able to talk to anybody, and he's kind of unworthy of talking to people. It's more of, like, yes, he gets fit, but it's a self-discovery to getting, like, his own kind
becoming outgoing.
Yeah, he becomes less introverted, and he kind of gets...
It's a really cute montage, because basically what happens is he's running, and, like, you know, he's all tired because he's, you know, overweight, and then some, like, jogger goes, you know, konnichiwa, and he's like... he wants to say hello back to him, but he's too timid. And then, like, it shows, like, as he works out more and more, he can say hello to, like, strangers. He can talk to his classmates.
Yeah.
And then by the time you see him, they enter high school for the first day, and he runs over to Noctis, like, hi, nice to meet you. Like, I'm Prompto. And then Noctis is really cute. He's like, we've already met. And they're all, like, chummy already, because he knows he's been, like, waiting to be his friend. It was really cute.
It was so cute. I was like, this is so cute.
There was some sweetness. I didn't like the you know, the general, like, I can't meet you while I'm fat, you know?
Yeah.
I get what they're trying to
and
say.
I mean, I think people in Japan have different attitudes about that kind of stuff than we do. They may not necessarily see the same
go. I think as a Westerner, you have to take it as, like, he just didn't have the confidence until he built himself up. Like, you can't look at it as, like, a fat-shaming thing. Yeah. You're just gonna
it's more about character building. Yeah. And it was, they did do it in a montage, so, I mean, you know.
Yeah. And it obviously worked, because there's this character who you didn't care at all about.
I hated him.
Until you found out about his background.
And he loved
dogs. Episode one, I was like, wow, this guy's annoying. And then episode two, I was like, oh man, I love this character.
He's my favorite, and he has such a cute, stupid name that means fast. Get it?
Yep.
Get it?
Prompto.
All right. I want to read
His name is actually one of the ones that is the least of a mess.
Offensive? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, it makes sense. It's a name. I wonder if they call him Pro. Poputo, for short. Just some really amazing comments on YouTube.
Don't they
give him
some funny nickname at some point?
I don't know, Alvin.
I haven't. I'm awkward. Woozification 1 on YouTube, when he saw... I think he saw episode one and was like, all right, saw episode two, and he wrote in all caps, fucking put on your seatbelts, because those bitches are not riding seatbelts.
They're
and then
not.
When Prompto is driving, when he sees the injured dog, he veers off and they all fly. They're in a convertible, first of all.
Yeah, so
first they should have all flown out of the car and died. Yes. But they didn't. They all just kind of, you know, fell to the side. Because of that, someone else commented, okay, Prompto getting in shape was impressive and all, but people don't even seem to realize the best part of this episode. Nocto slept through a freaking car crash, my hero.
Yes, it's true. He slept through that car crash.
He sleeps through the whole episode.
Because, like, I mean, it wasn't a car crash, but he basically, like, kind of, like, veers off into the side of the road and, like, stops abruptly and Noctis slept through it.
Yeah, and then one last comment someone made.
Wasn't he, like, drained at that point from using a lot of his powers? Wasn't that what it was?
I can't tell where in the timeline it's happening. Yeah. Like, did it happen before episode one or after? Like, they don't
talk
clear.
It's very messy.
He was out.
The timeline.
Yeah,
he's just like asleep.
Yeah, I wasn't sure, like, did that happen after they fought the weird snake lady that had been dropped out of the cargo container?
But we don't
container?
Know. Yeah, we don't know.
Because they never address it.
And the last comment I got the YouTube video got was, I want to play as Fat Prompto in PlayStation VR.
Oh my god, that'd be amazing!
Square Enix, get to it.
I know.
That could be like a whole like workout fit game you could do.
Yeah.
What do you do? Do you do squats?
You just do squats
like Cloud!
You do squats, and that's it. If you get a good ending, you can be Noctos' as friends. Shit, Square Enix, get on
it. Oh man. Oh man.
All right.
And then the third episode was the one about Gladios.
So wait, I noticed that his English name and his Japanese, how they're saying it, are totally different.
Yeah.
What do they call him in
Japanese? They say gladiosu.
So yeah, it's gladiolus.
But it's gladiolus and spelled in English letters, Romanized letters.
And it doesn't help that most of the time he's referred to in his episode, it's like gladikun.
I think she's just calling him Oni-chan, actually. Did she say gladi?
Okay, no, when they talk to him.
Call him gladi.
When they talk to him in the car, they just called him gladios. That's all they say.
Gladio.
Gladio. Oh. Yeah. It's
like gladio. But I mean, it's like Noctis. They don't say Noctis. They say Nocto. It's like, but why do you have his name romanized a completely different way?
Because mouth flaps, probably.
Well, they've always had this. They've been so consistent in how they use European languages in a weird way. So you get stuff like, you know, Fabula Nova, Crystallis, or like... was it Dissidia, or all the weird subtitles they have for their games, and it's just like, it's not supposed to make idiomatic sense, it just makes Final Fantasy sense. Yeah. Like
Final Fantasy language, get on it.
Yeah, well, they've been doing it for so long with such high production value that it's kind of assumed its own kind of weight, and people are like, yeah, that makes sense, because it's a Final Fantasy game or whatever.
Because Final Fantasy.
Yeah, it's the same game that has, you know, little cat teddy bear postman and riding chickens and
gotta see the Moogles, guys. I'm looking to wait for the Moogle episode.
Yeah.
But episode three is Gladios and his little sister Iris. Or Iris spelled.
And they show that Gladio does not have a very high opinion of
He has a very poor opinion of the
spoiled Noctis.
Because we can assume at this point Noctis maybe like 12 or something.
Yeah, he's like middle school age.
And then Gladios is probably 22, maybe. I can't tell how much older he's supposed to be.
Yeah,
I'm assuming that he's like either late teens or early 20s.
Yeah.
Is it like that thing in anime where if you're a third year, you look like you're 30, and the first years in high school look like they're like 11 or something? Yes.
Are you talking about Yao Beta?
I'm talking about every anime.
Yeah. The third years always look like full-grown men.
Yeah. And then if you're in your late 20s or something, you're
you're an old grandpa.
Yeah.
So someone mentioned that on YouTube that it does seem that pets are causing a lot of trouble in this anime.
Yeah, because in this episode, Iris decides that she wants to go visit this spoiled prince that her brother is talking about. And while she's waiting for the prince, she sees a cat in the garden and decides to go chasing after this cat.
Yeah, Arya Stark style.
Yep. Arya Stark style. And then Nocto sees her chasing the cat and chases her in turn. It turns into a whole, like, the prince is missing thing. Then, oh, Iris is missing. And then, oh, well, it's raining and I'm lost. And she's upset. And then Nocto like, finds her and brings her back and takes the blame. You know.
Yeah, that's the important part, is that he basically doesn't rat her out.
Yeah.
He actively takes the fall. It's not even that they're misunderstanding. He jumps in and is just like, no, it was all because of me.
Mm-hmm. And so then his dad is basically like, you're a royalty. You should know better than to just go wandering out by yourself. And I'm disappointed in you. And then Iris later confesses to her brother, Gladio, and is like, it was me. He covered for me. And then Gladio's like, oh, maybe he's not such a spoiled prince after all.
Yeah.
Like, I like that dude.
It was cute because then after that, he has a kind of a quick heart to heart with Gladius has a quick heart to heart with Noctis about their, you know, with their training and stuff, like how to become a better king. And then they show, then they fast forward to present day where they are, where Gladius has really let himself go. His hair is super crazy.
He's got like a crazy scar.
He's like, he went from being like, I don't know, 9 years older than Noctis to being like 30 years older than Noctis because he looks like he's like 50 and like
has no shirt. The better to show off his awesome chest tattoo.
Fuck shirts.
And then he has a vest. He has like a Daryl Dixon kind of vest.
That like has a necklace. That keeps it together.
He looks like one of the characters from that old...
See the Waka character?
He's kind of like the Waka character.
Do you remember a game called the... was it The Bouncer?
Yes, I do.
It was another Tetsuya Nomura designed roaming beat-em-up. Exactly like and he looks like a character from that. Yeah. The total, like... They kind of half look like they're from, like, a Yakuza game. Mm-hmm. But, all, like, they're kind of hosts. They're kind of, like...
Their hair's
Japanese
like a little bit
thugs.
Too fancy.
Yeah.
But like, if you think about it, like, every guy humor. Character in this, like, if you make Noctis blonde, he's Tidus. If you take glasses off Ignis, he's Waka. If you look at fucking Gladio, he's like Auron. Like, he's literally every single character.
They are operating on very, like... Specific tropes.
It's tropes.
I wouldn't say Ignis. We haven't seen his episode yet, so we don't know. Yeah. I don't think he's a Waka. I think his hair is more of a Zell.
True. Very true.
But in general, like you're talking about when they show them first driving around in the car and all that. First time I saw that, I was like, this is like Final Fantasy VIII when you get the car and you're like driving around with your buddies.
You do get a car in VIII, but it's not the whole goddamn game.
And a lot of the stuff I mean, 13 has the same thing too, where they're like they're choosing how much of the sort of modern day and how much of the sort of fantasy. Yep.
But in this one, they went full hog.
About the development of this, and Tetsuya Nomura was very adamant about producing a, like, buddy road trip kind of game, and that is exactly what this is.
Let me give you a quote from the internet. This is a really good one. Okay, thank you. I didn't write down which YouTube user this was. I said this. It said... man, these episodes are like the broest of bro things. Mm-hmm. This should just be called Final Bro Fantasy Bro 15, tale of epic journey where four bros go on the broest journey to fight for the ultimate broness crown against the haters that are determined to break up their broness to help one bro get married / late.
Yep.
Yes!
Yeah. That is pretty much.
That was an amazing quote.
This is like, God, what was that movie? The bachelor party thing? God.
The bachelor...
Hangover?
Hangover. It's like Hangover Final Fantasy.
But with, like, swords.
With some magic and swords and some technology.
Which conceptually doesn't sound very interesting to me at all, but then you think about how they execute it, it could be something better.
I think everybody said it's ridiculous. It looks ridiculous, and I fully expect it to be ridiculous, but amazingly ridiculous.
Like, the anime is really making me take a shine to it, and, like, I think I went to the press event, the unveiling of everything that's gonna happen in the game, and I was kind of like, this seems good, you know, maybe I'll, you know, if I have a PlayStation 4 by then, which I don't know right now. Please send me one somewhere on the internet. And I'll give you my email address. Anyway, and I was like, I don't know, maybe. And then this anime really was kind of like, it made me care about the characters, and it was kind of a tipping point. And then I saw the Kingsglaive trailer. Holy shit, guys. We were going to hella cover that, that movie when it comes out.
They're doing a much better job of cross-media stuff, which they've been trying to do. They've been trying to do that for a long time.
So let's talk about the memes, because I feel like this video game looked freaking ridiculous. until the memes. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people were Photoshop. Well, one Photoshop of them in the car came out, and then I guess somebody from Square Enix was like, "I like that," and encouraged the Japanese fandom to do it. So then it just became this like ultimate meme off of like what could you Photoshop them looking at, and then in one that I found particularly was epic description of like the broiest photo of them, and like they look like a band. Like a,
that's almost like a scene kid level thing.
Yeah, they it's look like, you know, emo kids. It's great. Like they,
it's all the things. It's together.
I can't even put my finger on it. It's just so ridiculously amazing.
Now, are those official DLC outfits that you can unlock?
No, I think somebody literally like Photoshopped.
Can I get those?
Somebody literally Photoshopped like the Hawaiian shirt on Gladio and like the rainbow shades on them all.
It's, is he wearing heart?
Is he holding a bunch of money in that one?
Yes, he's holding. Prompto is holding a, like a bunch of like dollar bills. It's so funny.
Oh, Christ.
It's they're all weird. Holding dollars. It's like early 2000s fashion.
I feel like we know a guy that looks like
It looks like blood on the dance floor. Remember that shitty man?
Stop.
It looks terrible.
Okay, so this is great. And I think there was also another, I think they released a phone sticker app so you could like take a photo and like put that. So it's, you can put like the car in front of you, and they can also have the guys going, like pointing at something, like someone's taking a picture of them.
What?
And if you look on Square Enix's Twitter, there's a bunch of it. It's so funny.
Yeah, they really encourage, like they understood the fandom and really encouraged people to be ridiculous with it, which I think was such a smart move.
Mm-hmm. They had some sort of Cho Aniki sort of homoerotic looking ones too as part of that. They were pretty funny.
What?
Alco knows too much about this.
Too much.
Too much knowledge. Oh man.
But let's talk about Kingsglaive a bit.
Kingsglaive. Okay, so they just released the US voice acted trailer for this. Maybe 3 days ago. The regular trailer has been out for a while. That shows kind of generally what's happening. But the best part about the English language version is going to be the voice actors. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got someone at Square Enix loves them some Game of Thrones.
Yes, they do.
So as Luna Freya, a grown-up version of Luna Freya, we have Lena Headey, also known as Cersei, from Game of Thrones.
And it's also known as, who is she in Judge Dredd? Mama.
Could you not with Judge Dredd right now? So she's in Judge Dredd. Let's not talk about that. We have Sean Bean as the King Regis. And as we mentioned, he definitely dies.
He dies. Sean Bean, King dies.
Yeah. Sean Bean. Sorry, dude. And then we have Aaron Paul from Breaking Bad. He's the guy who's not the main character in Breaking Bad, if you know who that is. As Nick.
Jesse Pinkman.
I didn't watch Breaking Bad, okay? I'm the one person in the whole world who hasn't watched it.
I know. It's about drugs and meths.
But he plays Nick, who is kind of like the lead Kingsglaive warrior. Of the Kingsglaive to save the crystal from the people
like
to do something.
From the royal bodyguards slash secret service ninja Assassin's Creed
Definitely,
badasses.
The costumes look hella Assassin's Creed-ish. Yes. So anyway, there's a lot of build up to that movie is going to take place in a timeline while the anime is happening. So while they're all off like just figuring out, oh my god, the kingdom's been ransacked, they're like, hey, we're in the middle of the ransack and we have to hide this fucking crystal. Is, I guess, the whole plot. And it's going to be released in real theaters in the U.S.
Yeah, select theaters.
And it's out in Japan. Just came out this weekend, I believe. So hopefully we can YouTube some of that later.
Yep.
Hand cams.
Read some reviews.
But yeah, it looks really amazing.
Yeah, it's a CG movie.
Yeah, and if you haven't seen it, you should go on YouTube and check it out.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of cynical about this game coming up because it was so long in development and because it just has this kind of this is a lack of, you know, female characters and
stuff.
I mean, I like Final Fantasy 7, 8, 10, you know, some stuff from 13. So it's not that I dislike this style completely, but it's not my favorite. You know, I'm more of a 14 or 9 or 6 kind of more like Renaissance sort of crystal punk kind of look. But
I mean, let's talk about that. Like, which Final? Like, I know both of you really like Final Fantasy. Which Final Fantasy is your Final Fantasy?
I'm really of the old guard of Final Fantasy when it was still like 8-bit. Not like I liked it before you guys did, but just because it was very high. It was high fantasy up until about 10, then I feel like there was such a divergence into like modern. It was like technology, and it was got too modern for me.
Yeah, 7 is really where that started.
Yeah, and I really liked the US Final Fantasy 3/. I know it's 6, guys. Settle down, Japanese.
I knew this was gonna come up.
Number 6 is my favorite. I have a lot of really embarrassing stories.
That is the best one. You are correct
about how much
I
loved it. Yeah, it was kind of the first RPG I really played all the way through. I played Two, I really, really, really liked. But three was, like, on a whole other level of, like, yeah. I could follow.
When she says two, you mean four.
I hate everything right now.
But you guys did you I mean. Did you just nerd check her?
It's not like I don't know. It's just I'm just remembering my youth. So I think I played it when I was around, I want to say I was like around 12 when I got to Final Fantasy 3/6. Thank you. And it really like, I remember just pouring over any material I could about it. I went, after I beat the game, I went to the, it wasn't called GameStop back then. What was it? EB. Electronics Boutique.
Yeah.
I went to the Electronics Boutique and bought the printed out book guide because I wanted to just like read the plot like in bed, like so I could just keep reliving the game over and over.
Guide or the pre-games.
I would like,
games or
I would like pray that I would dream about it at night. Like I was such a goddamn nerd about it. I would like trace the. So I had this tracing thing that I did when I was a kid because I didn't really know how to draw really well and I wanted to learn. So I would take. I would. You know when you hit start and you get like the close-up versions of their face that look more like Amano art, you know?
Oh, yeah, they're from Amano.
Yeah, they, but you know, I mean, they're still pixelated. But I would put Saran Wrap over the TV.
Oh.
And trace it.
Cecil Coon.
Yeah, and so I could trace it. And then I would like
please
cut it out.
Still have those.
And I don't think I do. And I would cut around it and then like tape it into like a white like notebook.
To capture it.
And capture. I just hope my mom's not watching this and like you're like, oh, is that why she had that weird shit?
I remember being in, like, 10th grade Spanish class, I think, and just being so obsessed with... Because, you know, in that game, in 6, you had to attach these kind of, like, materia and stuff to things to level up your summons.
You mean US 6, right?
Yeah, US 6. But then, I remember, like, trying to work out, like, okay... I've got about these many more points to go until Locke is going to need Choate. But then Bismarck will be available because Terra won't be using him anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it was just in the margins of my textbooks, figuring out in what order people were going to get what Espers.
Yeah. God, I remember, but like around 7, I was like, huh? Am I supposed to like this? Like, I played a lot through it, and I don't think I ever finished it because I was just like, I don't care about this weird pixel.
Yeah.
I didn't like the way the characters looked, and I didn't care for the.
Yeah.
And
I liked that game a lot, but I feel like
it was yours favorite 6 too.
Yeah, 6 is probably my favorite.
And I'm one of the few people I feel like I openly am like, I like 7. I fucking love 7.
Yeah. A lot of people love 7. Yeah.
7
has
some
favorite.
Great stuff about it.
Yeah.
I
definitely
love, like,
was an heiress.
I think for me, it was like. The best times with Tetsuya Nomura, because it only got worse after that.
I feel like there was greater variety in his character designs, and there were a lot of really good, strong female characters that were cool in that.
And I feel like, there was a greater variety of characters, and I feel like after that, like, all of his main characters that were dudes were, like, the broiest host type of people he could make.
Oh, God, when you got to 8,
well, main guy is always
Broody.
Yeah. And then his one of his best friends is higher energy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then there's always an older mentor dude. Yep. And this is people like Auron and Ten and that kind of stuff.
Ugh. They fell into
this. He's refining a trope.
Yeah, it just got real tropey. And I feel like for me, Sephiroth is like one of those like ultimate like villains.
Sephiroth.
Or like he's like.
We all know
that
song, guys. Come on.
Yeah. Wandering Angel. But yeah, he's just kind of like he's a villain, but he's just so tragic.
One of the and they pursued this a lot in later ones. Mm-hmm. Kuja was like this in 9, and he's one of the sort of anti-villain characters where, like, even though you want him to eventually lose, you want to see him do some badass stuff first because you're like, he's cool.
Yeah, and then, like, you just completely understand his, like, motivations. Like, some pretty fucked up shit happened to him.
Yeah, I'd be mad, too, if you
did that to me. But then I feel like, after that, like, 8 was like, we're all from the same orphanage. We just don't remember.
Oh, my God. It got so convoluted. Like, it wasn't about the same things anymore. And I felt like it lost the spirit of fantasy. And I was like, this ain't no Final Fantasy. This is just some final shit that happened.
Yeah. I put over 200 hours into that game as well and collected all of the cards.
Oh, my God. This guy I dated, Final Fantasy 8 made him drop out of college.
Oh, my God.
I dated some winners.
Some winners.
Michelle.
All right.
But I like 10. Was 10... Wait, one...
10 was a Nomura one
10
as well.
Was a Nomura one.
One had Kid with Tail and one had...
That was 9.
That was 9.
Oh, I like 9 then.
Like 9 a lot also.
9 is not Tetsuya Nomura.
Oh, yeah. 9 was like... It got to that weird roundish style of
They tried to go back
characters.
To make it look more like the original artwork.
Mm-hmm. It felt more like Tactics around that time, I think.
Yeah. Well, the interesting thing is, the person from Tactics, the character designer, Akihiro Yoshida... He is basically the other trend. If we're talking about Nomura for like the futuristic, kind of more modern-leaning stuff,
then Yoshida
he's the other
is
one.
The fantasy.
So he's the guy from Vagrant Story, from
Final
Fantasy Tactics, And some of the other some of the Final Fantasies that he worked on really have his look. Like 14, yeah. the new MMO, it looks a lot like his style, sort of Renaissance style. And then he has other ones too that are a lot like that. Like 12 is very much his game. And seeing a lot of the stuff from this new game and from this anime series as well, I feel like 12 was a I'm glad 12 was a good influence, because I feel like a lot of people kind of pick on it. They didn't really like it. It was kind of divisive of the community at the time.
I didn't like it. It was 12 with the one with Fran.
Yes, Fran and Balthier. Because I feel Ash.
That's shit.
I feel like the character design for 12 was strong, but I could not get into the story.
12, I really liked the story because it seemed more grown up, and all of the voice actors were these English sort of Shakespearean sounding voice actors. Like, I hate the American voices for like 10 and the more recent games. I wish they sounded like 12. And a lot of the stuff that I'm seeing from 15, especially when they show, like, you know, people like Sean Bean or Lena Headey or other people doing these kind of voices in it, I feel like they're going back to that of getting these people who sound, you know, like Patrick Stewart or whatever. Yeah. You know, just kind of impressive, and that fits better with that fantasy world for me than you know, like, hi.
I feel like it's funny. It's funny because, like, we actually meant, like, when 10 got remastered and released for, was it PS3 or 4?
PS4.
And like,
actually, and PS3.
And like, Alvin was playing through it, and I was like, I have never heard the English voices before. I've
like,
never
you haven't lived.
Because I played a modded Japanese version, and I had never heard it. And then when I heard them, I was like, this is terrible.
And a lot of those American voices are very famous. Like, Waka is, what's his name?
Jake
the
from
dog.
Avenger Time.
And Bender.
So, like, you can't unhear it now. Yeah. You hear it.
I went back, and when I was playing it again, I felt like I like it more now that Waka is Jake the dog.
I hated it.
And I always
like,
hated
man.
Waka, but I'm like, well, I like him a bit better now that he's...
What the hell was his accent supposed to be? Was he like New Zealand mixed with Australian?
I don't know. I felt like it was like a mixture of like Jamaican and
it was
like
a little bit really offensive,
it
but
was
like not...
It was a Hawaiian accent. John DiMaggio.
Yeah. John DiMaggio.
John DiMaggio, yeah.
Yes. From, thank you, producer Stephen.
From Futurama and...
But yeah, it was a Hawaiian like accent that he was trying to do, but it totally
sounds
like Jake the dog.
I mean, 10 in general, he was trying to, it was, Nomura was like, well, I want to do something that was like Southeast Asia
10,
or Polynesian, so fantasy.
Yeah, very Pacific.
And you can see that in this new game, and they dialed it back a lot more. They're like, he's like, because if you tell him like, oh, you can make the costumes yellow, he'll make them all yellow.
He's like, we'll throw some nets on the knees.
Oh,
and
oh my God.
He's like, can this guy have a wallet chain? And be like, only if it's 3 feet long. You know.
That's exactly what happened in the ball pit. I think, or not ball pit, but in the pitching tent, or pitching tent?
The,
you know what I'm trying to
pitch
say.
Room.
Pitch room.
The boardroom.
I'm just throwing together all the wrong words today. But, like, I think that the costume design and so let's talk about Good Punk 15 real quick. The costume design is, like, real lame. It's like, let's get all the gray. Gray on gray on gray with some black, but then mostly gray. Don't worry about the gray. There's going to be more of it later.
Like, Snow is the laziest, the one from, was it 13?
13.
Where it's just like, I wear a gray trench coat with a black do-rag. And I was like, that's your look?
Well, sometimes
that's
it
your
feels
look?
Like they design the character based on... Hey, what cool accessories would go well together?
Yes, it's
like,
true.
Let's get a guy like this, and then all of the other personality stuff seems like it comes later. Be like, oh, you know, it'd be sweet if we got a guy who was like he punches things, but he's like he's got a trench coat and like a do-rag, but he's like a cool guy. And,
It's terrible.
It's a little. It's quite an afterthought, and I feel like. You know what I thought when I first started watching it, the first trailer, like, way back? I was like, is this kind of like how they made X-Men all gray? Like, I feel like, is it more realistic because it's gray? Or I heard someone make an analogy that because they're all from the city, they all dress a certain way. And then when you see other characters who are not from the main city, they look less, the tones are more warm.
Yeah.
You mean
that's kind of like Tokyo, too,
15?
You know?
Yeah, 15. But I don't know. We haven't seen enough of the other characters, like, to know.
So, when I was looking into the character design, actually, I have it in the notes. Tetsuya Nomura did the actual, like, face, but for clothing, they had Hiromu Takahara from a Japanese fashion house called Roen.
Roen, maybe.
And it's inspired by what they would say Western clothing that's asymmetrical, but it's more like idol, like, Japanese goth clothing. It looks like that to me.
It's kind of uniforms.
Yeah. It's very much like an idol band.
It's an idol band from, like, 5 years ago is the problem. Yeah. I find that a lot with the... I feel like when I watch like Japanese anime, like when I watch anime and like that's like, this is what a popular person dresses like. I'm like, this was like, it's like they Googled it when they're developing the character a long time ago. They never bothered updating it because you can see if you just have a general sense of
well, like
style,
the Sasuke thing we're talking about.
Yeah,
the Sasuke. You know?
Yeah. Like, it's like hair of a certain age. Like, for example, people used to have hair like
we signed off on the concept art long ago.
Yeah, people, I mean, when I lived in Japan in 2005 to 2008-ish, people kind of like, people, hosts kind of had that hair still. Mm-hmm. Normal people didn't too much unless they're like in a band or something and they were really trying. But like nowadays, like that kind of hairstyle with like the big, it's when I see people like that at like conventions, I'm like, oh, you like someone from 2008 because that's kind of what, that's when that was happening. Yeah. Now people don't really have unless they're like, I'm trying to be Visual K from that era. Or they're trying to be like nostalgic with it. It's not like a current thing that's happening.
It's a countercultural thing. It's like, not what's popular.
All of them look like they kind of rolled into what Hot Topic used to be and then just popped out, you know? Like, it's like, I went into 2000s Hot Topic and came out the other side. That's what kind of they look like. When they say Western clothes, I'm like, they mean that kind of Western.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah. But here we go, Final Fantasy. Yeah.
But then, you could see they paid a lot of attention, and they do this with some of their other high-profile games as well, like Deus Ex and things like that, where they do tie-ins with brands.
Yes.
And so, like, you know, do you want the... Like, a lot of attention seemed like it was paid to, like, the interiors of the cars or a lot of these other things that are kind of like... Because they're using...
They made the car. They made that car. Yeah. It's, you can't, like, buy it, but they made, like, a Kingsley version or whatever of that car as a promotional thing. Because
they really like doing that in the promotions of saying, like, hey... Like, all the stuff that they did with Lightning for Louis Vuitton and all that stuff.
Oh.
They like the idea. Yeah. And this is true. We've talked about, like, how there's a certain sort of age of kind of people in Japan who are like trying to be cool and kind of reclaim their youth, and there's a certain amount of kind of conspicuous consumption that goes along with it. Of just like, so yeah, stuff that you wouldn't expect, like luxury brand tie-ins.
With
I'm sure
Lightning,
they're gonna be plenty
with Lightning. The person everyone wants to be like,
I want to be Lightning, but with a really cool clutch.
That was like the worst promotion I've ever seen in my life, because they had those billboards here in America too. They were at, like, when I was in Vegas at the beginning of this year, they had a bunch of
bunch in like Times Square. I know,
and I was like, stop it, no one's thinks
we're
cool.
gonna see more of that. I'm betting you from 15.
Yeah, I think 15 is going to have a lot of that.
It's going to be like tie-ins. Sid working at the Amcos. Like, or just like Levi's will like sell like the booty shorts.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
She's got that great look of where you just I want to wear my short shorts, but they're going to be almost falling off. And I'm going to have my very high-waisted thong.
Yeah, just
Ruse. No, no.
Yeah.
All right. So, rating time.
Out of 5. It's hard because, like, 1 was so weak to me.
Yeah.
And then, episode 2. Episode 2 and 3 were really great, though. Like, 2 is my favorite. If I had to rate 2, I'd be like, that's like a 4. 4-ish. Yeah. You know? It's a 4-ish, which is pretty high. 5, you can't give it a 5. It's 50 minutes long. Yeah. But I think overall, like I quite enjoyed myself. Like, I was laughing out loud, which is kind of rare these days. Because
you were eagerly anticipating both the game and the rest of the series.
Maybe not the game. Just I'm at the tipping point. But I feel like when episode 4 comes out, I'm gonna be like, hey guys, 4 came out. Let's watch it. Let's watch it together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I know I'm excited.
Alpin, rating?
I'm giving it a 3. I think it's better. I think it's better than I thought it was going to be, and it definitely has gotten me more interested in, you know, who these characters are and what their nuance are and that kind of stuff. But I don't know. There were a few things that just didn't really hold up for me, and I think some of the tropes are a little tired. I thought the art quality was really good. The music, it all held up. I mean, it looks like...
They had Square Enix money.
Yeah, they got the Square Enix money, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I also will have to give it a 3. Episode 2, Prompto's episode, very, very good. I like that the best. Number 1 was real, real weak, and 3 for me, it's kind of... It wasn't bad, but it fell flat, because it was just falling on those tropes, and I think Square Enix really needs to start moving away from that. Like, I know everybody loves Tetsuya Nomura, but please, no more of these rehashes of your old characters.
Well, they seem to... I mean,
can't wait till Lulu shows up, guys.
She got belts.
I need somebody with 20 belts.
Yeah, but
that's a conservative estimate of Lulu's belts.
Three all around, so I feel like we all kind of agree.
Yeah, that's like an average. Yeah. That's an average.
But I think it's definitely worth continuing to watch as the episodes do come out, and it has made me feel more bond towards that game.
Yeah, it did change perceptions. I mean, all the comments on YouTube, again, if YouTube says it in a positive
YouTube
way, that's crazy.
It.
Yeah, they're not tearing it apart.
Of like, basically, you know, I can't believe that Noctis is not, you know, one dimensional, and it's really, let's see. He isn't a cutout cliche of anime slash Japanese video game character Sasuke Ichigo. He actually has feelings and offers a lot of emotion through the show.
Yeah, that's YouTube. Just true. Yeah. So, if you guys want to check that out, it's on Crunchyroll, airing every week for the next 3 weeks.
YouTube. I don't think it's every week, dude. I think it's just like whenever Square Enix is finished.
Never mind then.
Yeah. So Crunchyroll and then the official YouTube is the place to find it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's all for us this week. Next week, we're going to be back with Jonathan and probably Max.
Yeah.
With the Animatrix.
Animatrix. Remember that shit?
Yeah.
Classic.
Thanks a lot, guys.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.